Simon Beis, and we're up to Sif Aleph. We started yesterday. We read Sif Aleph and Beis in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we saw the Mishnah Berurah. We started the Mishnah Berurah. So we're in Sif Katan Aleph in the middle over here. So Sif Katan Aleph, if you go down 2, 4, 5, or 6 lines. Alkein Ha'an Polis, you have that?
Yeah, okay.
Alkein Ha'an Polis. So what we're talking about is that a person is supposed to be covered. The case of the Shulchan Aruch is when a person is getting out of bed. He sleeps undressed, and now he wants to get out of bed. So he must first put on his robe, and then as he comes out of bed, he'll be covered. And the Mishnah Berurah told us about the Amidah Sneas that every man is obligated to have. And the last thing we mentioned was that a person is required to stay sneas even if he's alone, there's nobody around him, which means that he needs to keep his elbows covered and his collarbone covered. That's the getter of sneas, of this midas chasidus. A person is required to behave in a way that if he would be embarrassed to be in front of people, then he shouldn't be that way even when he's by himself. That's the idea. So now the example Mishnah Berurah is going to give is with socks, that the person is supposed to also put his socks on in bed. Alkein ha'an polayis, yira l'lavsham, oy l'pashtam, gam kein takas asadim, the person should put on or take off his socks under the covers, shaloy l'galois ragwav, in order to not expose his feet. That in our society, what he's talking about, and probably in America also, the custom was to never go barefoot, even in the summertime. And similar, anything that's like this case of the socks or the case of the robe, unless there's just no other way for him to go about it, because since the whole halacha is not a din, it's not an iser, it's a midas chasidus, so therefore if a person it's very difficult for him, then he doesn't have to do it. Rav Moshe says in a tshuva over here that if a person is wearing pajamas, which is common, then it could be impractical for him to get changed under the covers. It's not so easy. So he says an Eitzah. He says that our bathrooms, which have a shower, are permitted to be unclothed in them because we need to take showers in it. So it's a room that a person goes without clothes on. And he says that, so therefore, in such a room, there's no inyan of kavoid or embarrassment of being undressed. And therefore, a person could also change in that room, even though he's not taking off his clothes for the shower, he's taking off his clothes for changing. He says there's no problem of having his body uncovered in that room. We'll see soon in the Mishnah Berurah that al-Kapanim, it's the less time the better, but al-Kapanim, that's an eight, so it makes it easier to change. Oh, so the changing room would also be the same way. Oh, okay. So if it's a room... I'm not sure. I don't know, because Rav Moshe's the reason why he said that a bathroom, because a bathroom is a room that a person has to be unclothed in such a room. So, I mean, our bathrooms, they have a shower. So once that room is a room that a person anyway is in, that's a suggestion. That if a person changes in the room with a shower, then there's no problem of tneus, of this get it here. Also not. He doesn't have to worry about the feet. Into that room. So into that room, he's... Right, a lot of people don't.
Right.
Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah here is mashma that socks is a problem. There are poskim that were makel with socks. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to disregard this issue with the socks. And in Eretz Yisrael, certainly there are poskim that were makel. They say, Eretz about the Chazanish himself, that he didn't wear socks sometimes in his home. Right, so you're asking about it in Arabic countries where they wear sandals and they wash the feet, but the truth is that the Gemara says that the robe of the Talmud Chacham went down to the ground and covered their feet. So it could be they couldn't see their feet. Anyway, even if their feet could get dirty and they were wearing sandals, that they didn't necessarily have them exposed. So, I don't know, it's mashmah from the Gemara that that was something that was unique to Talmidei Chachamim. But we're talking about a midah of tzniyah, so that's, so there are certainly levels and madregas of this tzniyah. The person can go with his hat and jacket in his house also if he wants. I mean, a person can be more tzniyah, there's no problem with that. Yeah. Okay, so that's what we're saying. That's what the Mishnah Berurah, up to the Mishnah Berurah and the Sifkat Aleph. V'kenba beis ha-merchat, we're in the middle of here. V'kenba beis ha-merchat, if a person is in a shower room, so this is like a public bathhouse or the like, shadarkan shal b'nei adam leilek sham arumim. But there it's normal for people to go undressed, v'iyam shar b'inyan acher, and it's impossible otherwise. A person has to be undressed in a bathhouse because he needs to wash himself. Ein b'zeh mishum pritzus. So then it's not a problem of pritzus. V'kein kesherekeit b'nahar, the same thing if there's a public a washing area in a river, din kein, the same halach would apply. Rak yizayir leiv shayit v'lo boish tamach l'nahar kol ma she'efshar, that a person should just be see to it that he should undress and dress as close to the river as possible. In other words, this Indian of tzniyas, even in a case where it's e'efshar, we're in Siman Beis and Sifkat Aleph, even in the case where it's e'efshar, where he must take his clothes off, but still, as much as he could minimize the exposure, then the better. That a person shouldn't go around undressed unnecessarily. So we see even in situations where one is permitted to be undressed, and that's not considered to be a breach of modesty, but nevertheless, one should still minimize that as much as possible. So that's what I was mentioning to you before. Even though Rav Moshe gave a heter that a person could change his clothes in the bathroom with a shower, and that's not a problem of sneeze, not a breach of sneeze to take his clothes off. But on the other hand, you still see that even in such situations, one should minimize it as much as possible. Vafila, now in this case of the nar, this is a Gemara really. The Gemara says, when he's facing away from the people, he's going into the river, then he doesn't even need to cover his erva, because once he is in a situation where he could be undressed, so then he shouldn't show that he's ashamed of his bris mila. Not only that, if a person would try to cover himself, it looks as if he's ashamed of himself, and as if he has something wrong with his bris, and he denies the bris of Avram Avinu. So therefore, it's better not to cover the erva. But when he's coming up out of the river, and now he's facing the people who are standing on the bank of the river, so then it's not nice for the people that they should have to see him completely undressed. So Shapanav Kafe Ha'am, he's facing people, Yishka, then he should sort of bend over, or yasim yadoi keneged erva to the chasayis, or put his hand in front of the erva, obviously not touching himself, or vavaj liyiga ba, as long as he doesn't touch himself, k'moshin is bayer, b'sof siv gimel, like we'll see in sof siv gimel, we'll see in the next siman, when we not touch his erva, unnecessarily, but to cover himself, that people shouldn't have to see him, is a courtesy. And just practically today, the minig in the voice and the like is to cover himself as much as possible when he's walking around. Isa b'shas, it says in the shas, chaluk shel talmud chacham, the chaluk, which we said is this underrobe of a talmud chacham, kol she'ein b'sara niras mitachtav, it should completely cover him. Which this is the Magen Avraham brings this down, and then he seems to be bothered by something that we don't do this. Now, we don't wear this style of clothing altogether. But I think that what he means is that our jackets don't go all the way down to our feet. Because we wear pants. So that's his answer, is that we wear pants, and that seems to have replaced the style of clothing where the garments went all the way down to the bottom of a person's body. Today we're not cautious with this. Everybody wears socks. I mean, we know the style of dress of Hasidim, that they have socks that go up to their knees. So I imagine he means something like that. I don't know exactly which style of clothing they had in the time of Magen Avraham, but it seems that they had some kind of a style of clothing where they had a garment that didn't go all the way down the legs, and they had stockings that made up for the difference. And he says, that's okay, that's considered tznius because his legs are covered. Yeah, so ve'ena basanirus. So the person's skin is not seen, so that's no problem. And we're going back, we're just going to explain now the Shulchan Aruch. We mentioned the Shulchan Aruch that when a person is getting dressed, they should put on their robe under the covers, and as they pull themselves out of bed, then the robe is going to fall onto the body and cover them. So we'll see that in the Mishnah Berurah, Sukkah and Beis, Kishayakom, when he gets up, but to Lomar, Kishayakom, v'yetze, when he gets up and gets out of the covers, v'yetze mitachas kisui sedinoi, from under the covers, Shehaya munach sham aram, he was laying there undressed, Kishapashat chaluko, when he took his underrobe off. Yeah, ata taketh mechusa, but now he's going to be covered immediately because ki yipol chalukha el kol gufa miatma. The robe is going to cover him as he's pulling himself out of bed. Va'ayin lekaman simin reish on the test of base, and then pshita tachaluk. Then there it talks about the other way that when a person goes to bed, so he should take off his garment in such a way also that he shouldn't expose himself. Now we're going to have an interesting thing that Mishnah Berurah brings here, Agav. There are four cases of things that are kasha l'shichacha, that cause forgetfulness, that are related to this, that start off being related to this topic. Aleph, the first one is, ha-meniach malbushav mirashoysav, a person who puts his clothing under his head for a pillow or something of the like, mishakach limuda, that makes him forget his learning. Va'efshar, it could be imaniach davar acher amafzik bein roishal lebegadav in kapedas. If he puts it in a pillowcase, l'mashal, and there's something between him and the clothing, it could be it's not a problem. It's a megadav, he's not sure, but it could be it's not a problem if there's something in between. Base, the next case of something with kash l'shichcha is the kein yizar milubosh beis malbushim yachad b'pam achas ki kash l'shichcha. A person should be careful not to put on two garments at once, simultaneously. That's also a problem of being kasha l'shichacha. The poskim bring down, it's a question in the poskim if taking off two garments simultaneously is also a problem. And therefore they say, since it's a question of making themselves forget, it's better to be careful about that and not take off two garments as well. Another issue which the Piskei Tshuva talks about, he brings from the Eishel Avraham Mibuchach, that the whole kapeda is only two garments simultaneously when it's the whole garment. But the mashal, if his talis and his yarmulke fall off at the same time, he could put them both on at the same time. That's one thing he says. Or another example, he says when a person puts on his tefillah and he pulls up his sleeve, he pulls up the jacket and the shirt at the same time also is no problem. And so he holds that it's only the whole two garments at once, but the part of the garment is not a problem. There are those who disagree with that as well, but the Piskei Tshuva seems that is reliable, that you could rely on this part of the garment, and these are common occurrences. Okay, we're up to the third case of things that are kasha l'shichcha that cause forgetfulness. A kairei ksav shalgabi a kever, if a person reads the writing on a tombstone, which means if the writing is boilate, if it sticks out, which I don't know if they even make that like that these days. I mean, certainly not in the Jewish cemeteries because of this halacha, but if it will be sticking out as a problem to read it, it causes forgetfulness. And I remember where I saw it now. Somebody says that it could be, maybe Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I think, was the one who had it. Maybe I said an issue, I'm not sure. That if it's level, if it's not sticking out, but if it's level, it's a question, but if it's sunk in, then it's not a problem. So that's how they make our tombstones, is that they carve them into the tombstone, so it shouldn't be a problem of shichcha. And the fourth one is looking at the face of a person who is passed away, or mistako b'fnei hameit, look at the face of the dead person, b'minon mishakach limudo, those also cause forgetfulness. We have four things over here. One is to sleep on his clothing, to have his clothing under his head. It doesn't even say to sleep on it, just to put it under his head. Number two is to put on two garments at a time, and the others say to take it off as well. Number three is to look to read the writing on the cover if it sticks up, and number four is to look at the face of a dead person. Then look in the Prima Gadam, there are things that restore a person's memory. I looked over there, I only found one thing that he mentions, but he says that in this case of the Gemara, that the Gemara says that a person forgets his learning if he puts his clothing under his head. So the Gemara says that Esau, that he should dip his finger in salt and eat it, and that brings his memory back. So now we know what to do. Sif Katan Gimel. Huh? I don't know. Maybe when he's eating, his breakfast. It doesn't specify. But he grabs the prim gadim has a shaila because it says it's boi. He has a question of it. If it means in the Gemara, the technical meaning of etzba is the finger next to the thumb. And also he wonders if it's only the right finger. So that's his question. Maybe it's the right pointer finger. That's how to restore the memory. Dip the right pointer finger into the salt and eat it. Okay, let's go for the Siv Gimel. So we're learning further about how to get dressed, how to get ready in the morning. So Yedaktik b'chalukai, a person should be careful with his chaluk. Again, if you remember, the chaluk was an undergarment, something like a robe that was worn under the clothing. So he should be careful with his chaluk. L'levishoy kadarkai, that he should wear it in the right way. It shouldn't be inside out. That the inside should not be on the outside. And we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah that even though this is an undergarment and nobody really even sees it so much, but afal pi kein, that's a ganai, doesn't look nice, and therefore it should be avoided. A person has to look nice. Let's see if sif katan gimel b'chalukai. Afal pi shu tachas kol mabushin. Even though it's underneath all of his other garments, and kol shken b'shar begadim, so certainly with all the other garments, he shouldn't wear something inside out. Don't make himself look like a shlomazel. Sif katan dalet, machut. It shouldn't be facing the inside out. V'yiru hatfirois hamagunai. He's going to see the stitching. The imri achaluk and the seam. These gana, the inebrius, and people will think, look at him, not so nicely, they look at him, he's a shlomazel, he doesn't look nice, not put together. So that a person's not allowed to do that, he's not allowed to make himself look like a shlomazel. V'im loy nizer, if he wasn't careful, let's say he actually put his garment on inside out, so is he obligated to take it off and put it back on the right way? So it depends. If he's a Talmud Chacham, he's obligated right away to fix it. And if he's not a Talmud Chacham, so then he's not obligated right away to fix it, but when it comes to davening time and he's going to stand in front of Hashem, then he should make sure that everything is the right way. V'im le'nizhar, if he wasn't careful of hafak, and he turned it inside out, im Talmud Chacham, or if he's a Talmud Chacham, sarach le'poishtoi, he has to take it off again, v'lachar le'loiv shoy kedarkai, and then wear it in the proper way. Shelo yia b'chol mas ni'ai, chas v'shalom, that he shouldn't make a chilul Hashem. But other people, they don't have to be so makpid. They should take care of it. But if they didn't put it on correctly, they could wait. However, when it comes to the prayer time, every person should make sure that their clothing is right out. Because then, when a person is davening the Shmona Esrei, every person is obligated to look nice. So Mimela, if his clothes are inside out, that doesn't look so nice. From the Vorbisim and Tzadikot, I guess the general idea over there is that a person has to think that he's standing in front of a king, so he wouldn't want to show up in front of the king with his clothes inside out, right? Make sure he's got a court case, and he comes to the court with his clothes inside out. Don't think he would find so much favor in the eyes of the judge. To wear Sabbath clothes every day. No, we're not talking about. Well, for davening, he should be nice. He should wear a hat and jacket. If he has something he would wear as formal clothes, he should wear it for davening. That's his tzitzit. Jacket. Right. So that would be a formal. It says nice. I mean, you wear nice clothes, but it should be a formal attire. Something that you if you would be dressed up and looking nice, that's what you want to wear for your prayer. To honor, it's a way of showing that you have honor for coming to in front of Hashem to pray. Yeah. Okay, as a depending on how country they can take. Okay, so each place the clothing, it depends on where you are. I mean, you can't determine how you should dress based on how they dress in another country. But we look at what's normal in the place where you live. So that's how. Yeah, the type shiasim shnei tzidei hamalbush. Oh, this is interesting. It's Kabbalah over here. It's from the Arizal. Type shiasim shnei tzidei hamalbush biad yaminoi. That when he gets dressed, he should put the whole garment, the right side and the left side, in his right hand. And the yulbash hayamin. And he's actually a little bit more detailed. I saw the whole lesson that I brought down. That he should then somehow put the garment behind him and keep the right side in his right hand and then the left side in his left hand and put the right arm in and then the left arm. And so he has to get dressed from the right over. And then the left side, and what should he do? Why is he doing this? He should have kavana, ki akol nichlal b'yamin. That everything is coming from the right side. I mean, a yamin ba'al esmol, and from the right it comes to the left. Okay, that's Kabbalah. Let's go further. Kasav Rambam. The Rambam gives instructions how a Talmud Chacham should appear, his appearance. Malbush Talmud Chacham, yeah, malbush na'ev and naki. It should be nice and it should be clean. The Azir Loish Yimta Bebigdoi Kesem, he shouldn't have stains on his clothes, or Oisham Nunis, or there shouldn't be an oil stain or something like that, the Chayayse or anything else, then. The Loy Yilbesh, Loy Malbush Shirayim, he shouldn't be wearing silk clothes, Sarim, the clothes of Sarim, expensive, fancy clothes, Shakol Mistaklin Behem, because they draw attention to themselves. Loy Malbush Aniyim, he shouldn't wear very clothing of poor people. That something that would be considered not to be honorable or nice clothing. You should wear average nice clothes. That's the idea. Let's go further. Sif down. Now we're going to learn about putting on our shoes. Yin al min al yamin tchila. A person should put on his right shoe first. But don't tie it. Then afterwards he should put on his left shoe, vikshurenu, then tie the left first, viakshur vikshur shalimin, and then he should go back and tie the right shoe. Haga, v'minalam shalanu, and with our shoes, she'enam kashira, they don't have any ties, yinol shalimin tchila. So then you put on the right shoe and then the left shoe, and that's the end of the process. And let's see one more step here to go together. Hey, when he takes his shoes off, then opposite, and he takes off the left shoe first. Okay, so what we said over here is that when a person puts on his shoes in the morning, he first puts on the right shoe, then the left shoe, ties the left shoe, then ties the right shoe. And then if he doesn't have any ties, he just does right-left, and when he takes it off, he goes left-right. Now, you see over here, for the putting on the shoe, the putting on, we do first the right side, but when it comes to tying, the tying comes first on the left. We'll see the Mishnah Berurah, the reason why all of this is. Sif katan hey yamin. Shekein matzina b'tayra. We find in the Torah, this week's parsha, it's even today's Ali, I think. We find in the Torah, shay yamin chashav tamid le'inyin bohin yad v'rego, that the Torah gives precedence to the yamin, to the right side, like when they did the miluyim, so they spritzed the dam from the korban on the right ear of Aaron and his sons, and then on his right thumb, and then on his right toe. So you see that the yamin, the right side, gets a precedence, and you see even by the foot, it gets a precedence. And for all things like that, we always give precedence to the right over the left, so therefore when we put on the shoes, we put on the right shoe and then the left shoe. But when it comes to kashira, when it comes to tying, then we do the left side first, Vikshirenu, Dula Inyan, Kshira, Mitsinu, Shatira, Nasna, Hashivus, Elasmoil, that we find that the Torah gives a Hashivus to Kshira, to tying, to the small. Where do we find that? Shakaishar Allah, Tfilah, Shalyah, because we put on the tefillin on the hand, we do on the left side. So we see that the Torah gives priority to the left when it comes to tying. That's the pshat. So when it comes to putting on the shoe, we give precedence to the right. When it comes to tying the shoe, we give precedence to the left, and that's the story. Now, what happens if we don't have leather shoes? We have cloth shoes that have ties. Now, which one do we keep the same order or not. The Mishnah Berurah holds that it's different, and I'll tell you over the poskim that disagree with that, and it seems to be that's the Nafkana and the Achranim. Let's see. On Poloi, Shalavid, when it comes to socks, he's calling them socks, but it seems that it's like a soft shoe. This levid means felt, and it has a tie, has laces. In tzarech lahakdim small shira, he holds that you can just tie the right side first also. So now lahalacha, I saw that Benjamin Zilber, both in his Sefer Beis Baruch and in the Sefer Az Nidbru, brings down a whole slew of poskim that don't agree with this, and he mentions that the Betzina Rav, also the Ben Moshe, also didn't agree with this. That we don't differentiate between shoes or any other beged, even a cloth beged, we have to tie the left side. We have to tie the left side first and then the right side. So the mashal gloves that have a tie, or any kind of a beged that there's a tying that goes on, it should be done the left side first and then the right side. That's what he timed it. So there was a person who asked him that even though he always passes like the Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah clearly says like this, he says that every rule has an exception, even that rule. Or maybe except for that rule. So he said that he generally passes like the Mishnah Berurah, but that this is a Shulchan Aruch Rav and many other places can help, not like that. So he held that over here you have to tie, you always tie the left side first. What if he's a lefty? The ituyad, a person is a lefty, shemaniak tefillin biyamin, shal koladam, he actually puts his tefillin on everybody's right, what's the right side, yakdim yamin gam akshira, so then he puts on his right shoe and then ties his right foot, then he ties his right shoe. So that's, he does everything on the right, because the chashivas of the right side, he anyway would do, and then you have the akshira for him is on the right, so he ties his right shoe, and then he puts on his left shoe and ties his left shoe. Actually, I'm not even sure about that. Maybe he puts on his right shoe and his left shoe and ties it. Okay, they tell me he puts on his right shoe and ties it, and then kind of left shoe and ties it. Okay, that's the order. Okay.
So I understand socks, it doesn't.
You put on the right side. Yeah, you put on the right and then the left. Yeah, we always give the priority to the right. That's what he's saying. And the pay, you put on your pants, that's what they say. You put on the pants, you put on the pant leg, the right pant leg first, and then the left pant leg. Everything you do, right and left. That's what it comes out. According to the Achrayim, Siv Zayin, you mean Chila that a shoe that doesn't have a lace, so then he puts on the right one first. Begamim is damin leishal small, and even if he gets the left one first, Yamtin ad shiaviu leishal yamin. He should wait until somebody brings him to the right shoe. It seems he's coming from Gemara that the situation over there was that there was a Talmud Chacham who had a shamish who was taking care of him, and he brought in the left shoe, and he told him to bring the right. I think actually the Gemara was the opposite, because this Rabbi Yochanan held that you should put on the left shoe first. But al kopanim, the point was that the Seder is ma'akev, and therefore you should, even if you get the other shoe, the wrong shoe, the left shoe, you should still put on the right shoe before the left shoe. And Rav Benjamin Zilber says over there in his Sefer Az Nidbru and his parish on the Rabbin Yen of the Sefer Yura also, that a person who puts on his left shoe before the right shoe should take it off again and put it on. I don't know if the Leilam is familiar. There's a famous story in Eretz Yisrael that there was a soldier who, I guess, had come across some people, and the rabbi challenged him that he should do at least one mitzvah. So he was mekabel on himself to put on his right shoe and then his left shoe and then tie his left shoe, and right shoe. He was mekabel that on himself, but he was still a little bit, he was a fresh ball tshuva with his one mitzvah, and he didn't, and he made a mistake. He was in a rush and they were getting called for a lineup, and he put on his left shoe first, and then he caught himself when he was in the lineup that he did it wrong. He was very firm about this one mitzvah. He ran back to his barracks to fix it, to take his shoe off, fix it over. And meanwhile, he got in trouble for not being in the lineup. They put him in jail. And while he was in jail, so his unit, they were in a helicopter. The helicopter crashed, and everybody that was in the helicopter died. So this mitzvah, this one mitzvah, you know, because he became prum. And it was a famous story, and it's so I was, when I was there, I met some Israeli Bali Chuba soldiers, so they told me this was a famous story from by them. So Al Kapanim, this Allah, so we have to keep it because Shulchan Aruch says it, but you have to know every mitzvah in the Torah as a chashivas, you never know what could be the Yeshua. Let's go further. Kishu reichet v'sach, the same thing when a person washes himself or when he anoints himself. You imagine you put hand cream on your hand, so you should do yamin tchila. You should do the right side first. Yeah, we always give a chashivas to the right. V'im sach kol gufay, if a person is sach kol gufay, if he's anointing himself, putting oil on his whole body, roish tchila, the head comes first. Mipneishu melech al kol ha'ivarim, because that's the melech, the head of the king, of all the ivarim. So this is a Gemara, and if you'll notice, the lashon of the Gemara, it switches over here. It says when he washes, or when he anoints himself, so he does the right side first, and then when he anoints himself, he does from the head down, so if he's doing the whole body. So he didn't mention washing, so that's the Mishnah Berurah here is making a reference to that. Ayin b'darkei Moshe. B'darkei Moshe brings down from the Rabbeinu Avram Miprag, that the Bukhara Rechit says the same thing in Sikha. If he's taking a shower, he should also wash his head first. And then he himself says he never saw people midaktek, and he's not sure if that's halacha. Agav, I think that the Sfarim HaKadosh bring down from the Arizal that's the Seder. The Gemara says when a person washes for Shabbos, he washes panav, yadav, raglav, he washes his face and his hands and his feet, so it has to be davka that order. Panav, yadav, raglav, from top down. So that's the idea we're saying over here. Let's go further. You didn't miss anything, right? It says cut and chest. When we take off the shoe, we said we take off the left shoe first. What's the reason for that? Shazo kavod shel yamin. That's a kavod. We honor the right side by taking the left off first. That's taking off the shoes. We're giving a chashivas to the right by leaving the right side on, and I think that's the word. Let's go further. Sif Vav. Now we have interesting halachas, how a person is supposed to behave. And with, again, this idea we're learning, we're practicing how to be aware of Hashem. So not only in the way we get dressed, but in the way that we walk. Aser Leilech, the claim is the Kufa. A person is forbidden from walking with a upright, straight, because he has to be humble in front of Hashem. That doesn't mean he has to have bad posture, but he shouldn't be walking upright. V'layelech dalad amos begilui arosh. This is where we learn you have to have a yarmulke. You're not allowed to walk dalad amos with your head uncovered. And the third halacha of yivdek nekavav, that a person before davening, he should check to see, he should feel if he needs to use the bathroom. Haga b'chase kol gufoy, a person should have his whole body covered. V'layelech yachiv, a person shouldn't go barefoot. A person should try to get in the habit of having a bowel movement in the morning and the evening. Zrizus and Nikias, that's a mila of Zrizus and Nikias. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Sif Katan Yod, like we said, a person shouldn't walk straight up. Even if he's in a covered area of the house with a roof. Especially if he's walking outside, then he certainly has to be careful not to walk upright. Sif Katan Yud Aleph, Dalet Amos, yeah.
Does that mean you should
have your head? No. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that the way that a person should walk is that he should walk straight, and he should be in position in such a way that his head is down, that he sees Dalet Amos in front of him, not higher and not lower. That's the ideal look of a Talmud Chacham. His eyes are not raised and looking all around, and he's not bent over, staring at his feet either. He's looking in front of him in his Dalet Amos. That's the correct position of his head. But it doesn't mean that posture. He can have his shoulders up and his back straight. Yeah, I don't think it means that pastor. In fact, I'll tell you that Rav Miller Zechatzadik of Racha once saw a bachur who, you know, was walking all hunched over. He told him, he said, leave the being hunched over for the humble people. You should sit up, you know, you stand straight. But Lachari, that's not the Kavanah of the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think the Shulchan Aruch means the Jews have to be hunchbacked. I don't think that the Shulchan Aruch means. And the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that's not what it means. It means that a person should be up straight, but his head should be tilted in such a way that he can see Dalat on the Torah, which really is not, his head is not down too much either. It's just he's looking ahead, but not up and around. He shouldn't be arrogant. Yeah. Dalat Amos Begili HaRosh. That also we shouldn't walk Dalat Amos Begili HaRosh. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Let's stop here. I'm sorry. Have a good night.